Greater Philadelphia Gardens supports WHYY. May 8th is National Public Gardens Day, and Philadelphia is America's garden capital, with more than 30 gardens within 30 miles of Philadelphia. The whole family can experience inspiring gardens, special events, and the sights and scents of spring. With a long tradition of horticulture, Philadelphia is America's garden capital. Information at americasgardencapital.org. Greater Philadelphia Gardens supports WHYY.
I'm Dave Heller, and this is NewsWorks Tonight. This past weekend, there was more than one fight in Las Vegas. This evening, we'll meet a local boxer who was among the rising stars in the shadow of the Mayweather-Pacquiao limelight. First, much of the debate about natural gas drilling centers on how it affects drinking water. A new study out today in the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences takes a look at one incident in Bradford County, Pennsylvania. As State Impact's Susan Phillips reports, the research uses a new method that can detect gas drilling chemicals in much smaller quantities.
Back in 2010, things just weren't going well for residents of Paradise Road in Wyalusing. Their water turned muddy. One of the families had to evacuate because explosive levels of methane had leaked into their house. The Department of Environmental Protection found the driller Chesapeake responsible. The company ended up buying their homes and settling the case for $1.6 million. But a mystery remained. Although the water became foamy, tests showed no chemicals responsible. Garth Llewellyn is a hydrogeologist hired by one of the families.
That's not natural. And the fact that you can analyze for your standard list of analytes and they come back fine, and that's not just, you know, one consultant, that's many consultants. So that's a bit concerning to me. And certainly if I lived at this property, I would have been concerned. I wouldn't have drank the water.
Llewellyn teamed up with researchers at Penn State, and they used a novel method for testing the water that can detect nanograms. Sure enough, they found 2BE, a chemical used in the drilling fluid. Llewellyn emphasizes that this contamination happened while the well was drilled, not during the later stage known as fracking. I'm Susan Phillips, State Impact, Pennsylvania.
A secret secondary email address used by Delaware Governor Jack Markell has some lawmakers in the first state crying foul. Details from WHYY's Mark Eichmann.
For more than 6 years in office, Delaware Governor Jack Markell has maintained two public email addresses, jack.markell@state.de and governor.markell@state.de. But it's a third secret email that has raised some eyebrows in Dover in recent weeks. That email address does not include the governor's name or title. Instead, it's the name of country music legend Alan Jackson, alan.jackson@state.de. Alan is Markell's middle name.
It's actually a secret email address for a state account, which is where it becomes either unethical or illegal.
That's Democratic State Rep. John Kowalko from Newark. His Freedom of Information Act request for the governor's email about an education issue last month forced the governor's office to finally acknowledge the secret account with the pseudonym.
FOIA laws have always been used to obstruct rather than facilitate. That's what they're there for, to facilitate.
The governor's office issued a written statement to WHYY in response, saying that the secret email address was established so that one email account could be used without having to filter out unsolicited messages or spam. The statement went on to say that this is standard practice used by past Delaware governors. John Flaherty is the president of the Delaware Coalition for Open Government. He's joined Kowalko in efforts to FOIA more correspondence from Markell's secret email.
The whole purpose of the open government law is to allow public officials, the media, to monitor the activities of our elected officials. And there are specific exemptions in the law for what's public and what's not. And there's nothing in there that allows this to be secret or non-public.
Markell's written response to this issue includes clarification that all of his email addresses, including the Alan Jackson address, are subject to Freedom of Information requests, unlike State Rep. Kowalko and the rest of the General Assembly, who are exempt under the state's FOIA law. Flaherty takes exception to that statement, pointing out that Kowalko supported the effort opening the General Assembly's email to requests.
John Kowalko has been a huge supporter of open government and transparency. He was not involved in the efforts to keep the secret email accounts of the General Assembly. That was from the leadership, so that's a cheap shot there.
Markell's statement did not say whether the governor would be creating any new email aliases. From the Delaware Desk, I'm Mark Eichmann, WHYY News.
Cartological kudos to MESSENGER for its just-completed mission to map Mercury, our solar system's smallest and hottest planet. Joining me to sing its praises on Sky Talk is Derek Pitts, chief astronomer at the Franklin Institute. Derek, it all came to a crashing close after thousands of orbits around this tiny planet. Why this particular date to bring it to an end?
This date isn't chosen. It's actually a date that comes up as a result of being able to clearly understand at what point the spacecraft is going to run out of the fuel that it needs to keep it in orbit. And so last Thursday, the 11-year mission of MESSENGER came to a close. After traveling around the sun 29 times, orbiting Mercury 3,308 times, and 8 billion miles of travel overall, the spacecraft crashed into the surface of Mercury, having delivered to us a tremendous number of images, over 255,000, that will help us to better understand the surface of Mercury.
Adding one more crater to this already pockmarked planet that closely resembles our moon, apparently.
It really does look a lot like our moon because the surface is entirely covered with craters everywhere.
Given its proximity to the sun, it's understandable that it gets rather warm, apparently up to around 800 degrees, but I was surprised to learn how cold it can also be.
There. Yeah, this is a remarkable fact, actually, that there are actually places on Mercury around what's called the Terminator. That's the line that separates the light side of the planet from the dark side of the planet. The craters that it crosses through at the extremes of the planet, the North and South Poles, some of those are in constant shadow, and because of that, there's actually ice frozen in those craters.
On Mercury?
On Mercury, even. Now, part of the reason why this is because there's so little atmosphere. There's nothing to carry the heat from one side of the planet to the other.
We can keep up with that and all kinds of other interesting astronomical facts on NASA's new website.
Wow. NASA has completely changed the face of its website, yet it still contains all the information and content that the previous NASA websites had. You realize that one of the things that NASA has done is the website is now much more oriented to images and social media than to content in the form of, say, news reports or any other kind of sort of printed, worded material. So when you look at this, what you really begin to see is that NASA is recognizing that it can't have a website that looks like rocket technology from the 1950s and 60s, which is what its website looked like before. And the way I describe how NASA is changing into a space agency of the 21st century is that NASA is evolving.
I'm wondering if you can go there to catch sight of the ever-evolving amenities for the ISS astronauts.
So when you look at the menu bar at the NASA website, one of the first items you see is a tab for International Space Station. And I'm sure one of the major stories you'll see there is the fact that nowadays on board International Space Station, you can find an espresso maker. Now, if that isn't an indication that this is not your father's NASA anymore, I don't know what is. But in addition to things like an espresso maker, NASA has also placed on board International Space Station a 65-inch projection screen, collapsible and foldable, of course, along with an LED video projector, so that now astronauts can do any of their video conferencing or movie watching and any other thing that they might do by video projected on a 65-inch screen.
All part, I presume, of keeping those astronauts in tip-top medical as well as cognitive and emotional health as they go perhaps eventually to Mars.
Right, and this is all an important part of helping astronauts feel more comfortable living and working in space.
Thanks, Derek.
My pleasure, Dave.
Derek Pitts, chief astronomer at the Franklin Institute. He joins us each week at this time on NewsWorks Tonight. Taking a look at this evening's headlines, not guilty. That's the plea from two of New Jersey Governor Chris Christie's former allies, Bill Baroni and Bridget Kelly, both charged with conspiracy and mail fraud in connection with the politically motivated lane closures along the George Washington Bridge in 2013. Baroni told reporters he would never risk his career and reputation for something like this, and says he plans to testify at the trial on his own behalf. Michael Critchley is Kelly's attorney. Critchley says the brief court appearance was the longest time Kelly and Baroni ever spent together.
You're going to find out during the course of this that maybe The length of time that she has spoken directly to her, quote, co-conspirator, is maybe 12 seconds.
Critchley adds he'll subpoena anybody he feels is necessary to establish his client's innocence and wouldn't rule out subpoenaing Governor Chris Christie. In other Garden State news, Governor Christie has conditionally vetoed legislation barring the state from making investments with firms whose money managers have contributed to national political campaigns. The Democratic-led legislature had passed the bill in February. In announcing the measure today, Christie says that federal and state restrictions already impose stringent disclosure requirements. Clear skies, 81 degrees on Independence Mall. It's 6:16. You're listening to Newsworks Tonight on WHYY. Clear skies this evening, low overnight around 62 degrees. Tomorrow, partly sunny, high again in the mid-80s, though there's a 50% chance of late-day showers. Remaining cloudy and cooler Wednesday, high 72, and then enjoy sunny days Thursday and Friday, high both days around 80. Still ahead, a North Philadelphia boxer got his big shot this weekend following years of training.
I start loving the smell of the gloves. I love to get up at 5 in the morning and do my word work. It feels like I accomplished something. I bettered myself.
Newsworks Tonight goes another round on WHYY.
The National Museum of American Jewish History at 5th and Market and Temple University's Feinstein Center support WHYY and welcome award-winning author Gary Steingart for a conversation and reading from Little Failure, a memoir, a candid, witty, and deeply poignant account of Steingart's experiences as a Russian Jewish immigrant in New York, his haphazard college pursuits, and his initial forays into a literary career. Coffee and dessert with book signing to follow Tuesday, May 12th at 7 p.m. at the museum. NMAJH.org or 215-923-3811. The Pennsylvania Ballet and Orchestra support WHYY and present a tribute to Jerome Robbins May 7th through the 10th at the Academy of Music. Academy Award and Tony Award winner and a recipient of the Kennedy Center Honors, Robbins' legacy is honored with performances of In G Major, set to Ravel's Piano Concerto in G, The Concert, with music of Frédéric Chopin, and Fancy Free, the ballet that inspired On the Town, with music by Leonard Bernstein. Details at paballet.org.
Welcome back to Newsworks Tonight. I'm Dave Heller. It took 12 rounds for boxing superstar Floyd Mayweather Jr. to beat Manny Pacquiao in Las Vegas Saturday night. It was a matchup billed as the fight of the century. But it was also a big night for the slate of rising stars who fought prior to the main event, and that includes North Philadelphia boxer Jesse Hart. After following him for weeks, WHYY's Aaron Mozell has his story.
It's Tuesday in early April, a workout day at Joe Hand Boxing Gym in Northern Liberties. No sparring, just sweat. Assistant trainer Danny Davis is wrapping Jesse Hart's hands a bit later than usual today. The 25-year-old prospect had yet another on-camera interview about the upcoming fight. The camera lights off. It's time to get to work.
We're going to get in pads, heavy bag, double in. And do ab work today. I set up like four stations of abs.
Jesse says he's a bit tired from sparring yesterday.
Them guys was rough. I had some real rough customers in there.
Still, for more than an hour, he bounces from one exercise to the next. He doesn't know any other way. A demanding dad laid that circuitry long ago. A shared dream and a tragic loss hardwired it. Davis knows this, and so week by week, he helps methodically fill Jesse's tank until, by the end of camp, he's like a Ferrari on an open racetrack, seconds before the light turns green.
That last couple days, pretty much had to hold him back.
Once you make the move, you gotta come back. Catch the punch. Hands up.
That's Jesse's head trainer, Eugene. Cyclone to anyone who knows him at all. He's in his 60s now and knows just a bit about the sport.
They're getting their official instructions before the start of what should be a dandy.
In the 70s, Cyclone was one of Philadelphia's top boxers.
The promoter had a good time with me because he had sellout. Every time I fought, he had a sellout.
Cyclone went 30-9 and rose to third in the world while taking on some of the era's biggest names.
Benny Briscoe, Willie the Worm, Boogaloo Watts, Kitten Haywood, and Sugar Ray Seal.
All-time great Marvin Hagler, too. Cyclone's left hook was particularly punishing, says John DeSanto of PhillyBoxingHistory.com.
Some say he was the hardest one-punch puncher to come out of the city. You know, I've heard that a number of times from people.
Cyclone hung up his gloves at 30. Later, he taught neighborhood kids and amateurs the sweet science at Waterview Rec Center in Germantown. One of them was a hyperactive, largely uncoordinated kid named Jesse Hart. The 9-year-old fell for the sport hard.
I start loving the smell of the gloves. I start loving to lace up my boots when I come in the gym. I love to get up at 5 a.m. and do my word work. It felt like I got something done. It felt like I accomplished something. I bettered myself.
Not surprising, really. You see, boxing is in Jesse's blood. Cyclone is his dad. That didn't earn Jesse any special treatment. In the ring, Cyclone kept his compliments rare and spare, even as his son racked up the wins. Jesse can still hear his dad after one of his knockouts.
You did all right, man. It wasn't nothing. What'd you think you did? And I was like, yo, I punished this kid. Like, I beat, yo, why are you not giving me my just due? Man, you could have did better. Dad, the man is almost dead here.
Cyclone says he knew what he was doing all along.
Now, from here and where he at today, he know all that means something to him, mentally, as well as physically. He wasn't too big for himself.
And now Jesse smiles when he thinks about what seems like calculated magic.
He built me up to break me down, to build me up again.
After hitting the pads, Jesse hits the heavy bag, then the speed bag, and a little jump rope. A few minutes later, the team is on its way home. Another interview. Comcast Sportsnet is stopping by the house. It started with a garbled voicemail back in February. Hey, it's Bob Arum returning your call. As in legendary fight promoter Bob Arum, Jesse was in the gym at the time, training.
I just had got done. I seen him his call.
So Jesse called Arum back. He recounts the call.
Hello? Bob, what's going on? Jesse, hey, how you doing, kid? Everything's all right? Yeah, everything's good, Bob. Everything's great. You know, I'm just training, you know, waiting on the next fight date.
At the time, Jesse was training to headline a boxing slate in South Philly.
Bob was like, you know, you ain't fighting on April 10th no more. Fighting on April 10th no more. Why not? Because you're fighting on May 2nd. Whoa, May 2nd? Now, it's only one fight card that I knew of, because the fight just had got announced that same day.
The card was the Floyd Mayweather-Manny Pacquiao fight for the world welterweight title, the fight boxing fans across the globe have dreamed about for years, the fight that's being billed as the fight to end all fights.
I was like, Bob, thank you. I just kept thanking him so much. He was like, congratulations, kid. This is the road to becoming a superstar. I was like, so astounded, so excited, so riled up. I just started screaming and thanking God so much.
Things were serious now.
Put that knife in, Art.
It's a warm Monday evening, 2 weeks before the fight, and Hundu McDonald, Jesse's brother-in-law, driver and corner man, is cooking dinner inside the spare Southwest Philly apartment they rented to keep Jesse's downtime nice and quiet. McDonald usually makes the meals.
Jesse try to cook sometimes himself.
How does that go?
Excellent. I never eat his cooking.
On the menu tonight, baked tilapia lightly seasoned with just a bit of margarine. Jesse slouches in a living room chair, a slight scowl on his face. He wishes a hamburger was coming his way.
Oh, it was so bad. You gotta eat like this.
Training for a fight also means time to kill. Hundu and Jesse play video games a lot. Sometimes they watch old fights, like Cyclone and Jesse did when he was little. Sugar Ray Robinson, Muhammad Ali, Cyclone would tell his son to aim to be like them.
Muhammad Ali's character always got me excited. And I used to just want to just, you know, try to talk like him and, you know, just walk like him. And I used to walk around my house. I'm probably like 80, 90 pounds at the time. Like, you can't beat me. I don't care how big you is.
To Jesse and Cyclone, that's still the mission. Be the best boxer there is.
There's a lot of people in this game for different reasons people don't know. Some people in this game for money. Some people in this game because they want fame. My dad is in this game, and the same reason why we turned pro, we want to win.
And that's worth a few missed hamburgers. A few days before the fight, Jesse is shadow boxing inside Johand Boxing Gym. Sweat pours off his lean, chiseled frame. By now, he's 171 pounds. 3 more pounds need to go before fight night. It's media day, Jesse's final workout before heading to Las Vegas to put his perfect 16-0 record on the line for the USBA super middleweight title. The music is going and everyone is smiling, a lot, especially Cyclone. He's grinning from ear to ear.
Now we can put it all in God's hands, but we took it from here. We here, we ready.
Jesse says he's gonna knock out Mike Jimenez. No question about it.
This kid is in trouble, man. He's gonna be fighting for his life. Forget the win.
Cocky? Maybe. Jesse calls it good old-fashioned confidence. All the hard work all these years is part of it. Damon, though, he looms larger this time around. Damon predicted greatness for Jesse, his younger brother. And so, more than anything, Jesse wants to honor Damon's memory with a big win on the biggest stage. In 2010, Damon was murdered while sitting in the passenger seat of a parked car in Port Richmond. Probably a robbery, law enforcement said.
I was like, "Ho, is you sure? Is your information correct?" I felt my legs get weak and I lost feeling in my right arm.
The loss devastated Jesse. He lost 15 pounds, but it also gave him strength.
You know, I always say, I can never be defeated because I already took my loss. That's why I go in the ring with my confidence high. Like, you can't do nothing to me that ain't already been done. I've been knocked out of life. I've been knocked down. I've been to the bottom of the barrel.
And then came the big fight Saturday. 6 rounds, 17 minutes, 17-0. In a near-empty arena, Jesse flexes and flashes a smile.
And that will do it.
A championship smile, the one he and his brother predicted, the gesture of a dream come true. Just after landing at Philadelphia Airport, Jesse is still in high spirits as passengers stop him for photos by baggage claim. A gaudy title belt hangs over each shoulder.
Everything went according to plan.
Still, he says it all feels surreal.
But to be here from the age of 6, from where I came from, I came a long way, and it's still a long way to go.
Jesse Hart's a contender now, but when it's all over, when he's ready to retire, he wants another noun to define him. Legend. I'm Aaron Moselle, WHYY News.
Here stands a boxer and a fighter by his trade. And he carries the reminder of every glove that laid him down and cut him till he cried out in his anger and his shame.
That's all for tonight's show. NewsWorks Tonight is produced by Shai Benyakov and Kimberly Haas. Listen again to a story or catch up on a missed show via podcast or online at newsworks.org. Thanks for joining us. I'm Dave Heller for NewsWorks Tonight.
The Philadelphia Orchestra supports WHYY. Vienna 1800. A struggling young composer completes a symphony. The first of 9 that will change the course of music. The Philadelphia Orchestra, under Christian Macellaru, performs Beethoven's first symphony. And Sarah Chang plays Dvorak's violin concerto. Beethoven tickets online or at 215-893-1999. This Thursday, Friday, and Saturday at the Kimmel Center, Beethoven's first with the Philadelphia Orchestra.